Well, good morning to each one of you today. Glad to be with you this day after Christmas, a special time to be able to be together as a church family. Hope you're able to enjoy some time with your families and friends yesterday. Enjoyable just to be able to be together, and I'm excited to be together with you this morning. If you could turn in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You'll find Ecclesiastes directly after the book of Proverbs. If you have never read through the entirety of Ecclesiastes, I would highly encourage you to do so. A little bit about this book. It is believed more than likely to have been written by Solomon. He sort of identifies himself right at the beginning here, and traditionally that is where we would give the credit of the authorship. But it is an interesting book in that it is written from the perspective, as is stated early on in chapter 1 in verse 9, as one that is under the sun. It's written from man's perspective. It is not given, as we see it throughout the rest of the Bible, as from man by through divine intervention. This is someone who is going back and forth in their mind, having struggles and debates and difficulties, and doing it through man's perspective. They're trying to get through life in their own strength. As Solomon is writing this, he is expressing what I believe many of us deal with on a day-to-day basis as we try to live life on our own, as we try to go through it in our own strength. But as he builds through Ecclesiastes, it brings us to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, verse 1 may be a familiar one to you. You maybe have seen some plaques or some stenciling done with this verse: to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Now, we are in the Christmas season. We are moving very quickly this week into the New Year's season, as 2022 will be beginning very quickly here. And that is hard to comprehend, that we are already through 2021. In a way, it still feels like we are in early 2020, because I feel like we lost early 2020, and we've never really gotten back to that. We're almost at 2022. And as we consider where we are going in our life now, and where each one of you are at, and the different things that you have going on, there are many different seasons of change. We can reflect back on this past year, this past 2 years, and the many different things that have changed for us. Some of us have new jobs. Some of us have welcomed new members to the family. Some of us have moved. Some of you have gone off to college, gotten experiences in new locations. For each one of us, though, we are assured that this next year, this next season, is going to bring change as well. And how do we, as believers, as those that want to keep our perspective on the Lord, how do we come to grips with and acknowledge that there are going to be changes? And where should our perspective be as we go into that time? Let's read together Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. Time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can see the different seasons in our life. We can see the changes that are taking place. We can look in our past, we can acknowledge our present, and we can see what is going to take place, at least in some way, in our future. Lord, I thank you this morning that though everything around us changes and though that we can see in our own lives we change, Lord, if we have our focus on you, we are focused on the one thing, the one person that never changes. I thank you that we have that sure foundation to cling to. Lord, I pray that those of us here this morning that know you as our Savior, Lord, we would hold to you dearly and closely, that we would acknowledge that apart from you, nothing is going to be the same. Everything is going to be changing. We have no surety in life at all outside of you. I pray that you would give us the perspective and the understanding this morning, these realities of life, and Lord, how we can have the right perspective as we keep our focus on you. Bless this time now, in Jesus' name, amen. As we read through this passage, and we're going to work through it now, I want us to understand that verses 1 through 8 gives us that overview of all of these different seasons of life that we go through. He outlines it as a time to then do this. All of these different things maybe you have identified with at some point in your life. Maybe you are currently going through one of these times, and more than likely you will go through many of these in the remainder of your life. See, these different seasons of life, it is an understanding as Solomon is writing this. He's not trying to give some deep theological explanation on some different areas. He's just understanding that this is what happens in our life here on earth. In verse 1, when he says there's to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, that there are realities of life that we face. There's realities of life that all of us face, whether we are saved or unsaved. As we go through our life and we encounter things because of our humanity, because of the world that we are in, there are realities we need to be aware of. Without belaboring the time spent in these first 8 verses, I've kind of summarized a little bit what we can see in each one of these verses. In verse 2, we see a contrast between the beginning and the end of life. He's talking about being born and then that time to die. He's talking about the life cycle that we all go through. As I referenced, we think back on this past year, there have been, in just our church, there have been people that have been added to the church through birth. We have also lost some through death. We think in our own families, there's people that we can look to, that we have grown our family and we have subtracted from our family. This is a reality of life. This is what we face, and we understand that birth brings in that new life and death takes away that life. He also uses the analogy of planting and harvesting. There is that time to plant and there's that time to harvest that which has been planted. Verse 3, he says there's a time to kill or a time for war, and then a time to heal. That time to break down and a time to build up. That time for destruction, that time for healing in our lives. Verse 4, contrasting sadness and joy. That time to weep and a time to laugh. Time to mourn and a time to dance. We all understand the differences in this. There are times in our life when we feel grief. There's time where there is sadness, whether we have lost a family member, a close friend, whether we're going through a difficult situation in our life. There's also those times where we experience joy, where we feel like dancing, where we feel like praising, where we feel like focusing on the joys that the Lord has given us because of family, because of friends, because of circumstances in life. We all understand both of these and the reality of them. Verse 5, we see the contrast of closeness versus distance. This time to cast away stones and then a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Boy, if nothing else, I think this is a great verse for the last 2 years. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, maybe 6 feet away or so. We understand the reality of these different seasons. Verse 6 builds on this as well, a time to get and a time to lose. a time to keep and a time to cast away, when you're drawing together versus that separation. Verse 7, a time to rend and a time to sow. There's some belief that this verse is referring to and that process of mourning. It was very common for people to rend their clothes in the grief that they were experiencing. There's that time to rend clothes, and there's also that time to sow again, to make new. There's also a time to keep silence and a time to speak. We all understand, hopefully, the realities of both of these. Sometimes it's better to stay silent and to not speak. And other times we need to speak up and we need to say things. There is a balance there, obviously. And then verse 8, time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. There are times where we need to draw close to others. We need to build relationships. There's other times where it's going to be a season of war in humanity. Each one of these, though it doesn't fully encapsulate every single season of life we might experience, I think we can all identify our realities. That there are going to be seasons, there's going to be times where we feel joy. There's going to be times where we feel sadness. There's going to be times where we want to get close to one another. There's going to be other times where we need to separate. Wherever we are at in these different seasons, Solomon is trying to identify for us as we reflect on this that they're all realities. And we can't live in denial of these things taking place. There are going to be times and seasons of our life we are going to go through each one of these in one sense or another. But see, as Solomon, even as he is reflecting on this in his humanity, he makes some observations in the following verses where I want to spend the majority of our time this morning as we consider these realities. What do we do with that understanding? It's good to know that they're going to take place. It's good to know that these are realities, but so what? As Christians, as we reflect on this passage, what do we do with this information? Solomon gives us a great outline and some great reflections here on these different seasons of life. First of all, in verses 9 through 10, we understand that the realities of time remind us of our mortality. They remind us that we are human. They remind us that we have a beginning and we have an end. Verse 9, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? What profit is there for someone just to go out and keep working and then to come back? What exactly are they gaining? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Solomon is reflecting that I see people go out and they work and then they come back. And then the next day they wake up, they go out and they work and then they come back. What exactly is the benefit of this? What is the purpose? Why are we doing this? The travail he speaks of is this great difficulty. Understand, if you work for a living, you're earning money for your family, there are going to be difficult times. Even some, depending on your job, and for the majority of people when Solomon wrote this, it was very labor-intensive. It was exhausting. It was difficult. He is trying to understand here what exactly is the purpose. The lesson we learn from this is that we are mortal. We have that beginning and the end. Where exactly does that come from? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3 and verses 17 through 19. We go all the way back to the beginning and remind you of how God created this world, how God created it in perfection, and yet sin entered into the world. And it entered into the world through Adam, through Eve. And if it hadn't entered into the world through Adam and through Eve, it would have entered through Cain or Abel. If it had to enter through them, it would have been the next person. It's easy to look back and say, Adam and Eve, how could you do this to us? Well, if it wasn't them, it would have been us. And it obviously wouldn't have made it all the way to us because we are sinful creatures. God created us with that free will, with the desire to serve our flesh. He wanted us to choose to serve Him. And yet, as we all understand, we choose to serve ourselves. And therefore, because of that, there has been realities that have been brought upon us, as we just reflected on, as a result of that. Genesis 3, verses 17 through 19, God speaking to Adam, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. See, the reality of choosing sin, beginning here with Adam, is that this curse that was brought upon him and upon all of us as his descendants is this mortality. Is that we have had a beginning that came from the dust of the earth, and we will return to the dust of the earth through death. We are mortal. We have this beginning and this end. We are going to experience difficulties in life as a result of the curse of sin. But not only that, the mortality that we experience, the next reflection, a lesson I want us to learn, we see in the beginning here of verse 11 back in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Even as he experiences and is reflecting on the realities and the difficulties of life, he begins verse 11 by saying, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. See, even in this moment where Solomon is confused and experiencing the difficulties around him, and he sees people struggling and going through these hard times that he was accustomed to as well, he reflects on how God has designed these things and that all seasons of life are right in their God-given timing. Every season of life that we go through, the good times, the bad times, are designed for a purpose. The easy times of life, God has designed for a purpose. The difficult times of life, God has designed and given us for a purpose. There are going to be circumstances that we don't understand, that we are confused about as we consider why they are taking place in our life. God has designed them and made them beautiful in his time. How often have you reflected, like, man, if I had to go through this, I really wish it wasn't right now. This is not fitting my schedule. This is not convenient for me right now. You know, next Tuesday would be a great time to experience this difficulty. See, it would be beautiful in my time if I could schedule when these difficulties were going to happen. It would just be beautiful. I could be like, all right, yeah, I can schedule this out for next year. Coming up on 2022, you know, I don't have much going on February 14th. Let's just make that a difficult day. Let's just make that a day where I have to buy a bunch of chocolate and a bunch of things for my wife. And, you know, let's just go ahead and schedule that out. And then what about March 2nd? We would love to make things beautiful in our time. That's not how it works. God has designed every single thing beautiful in his time. Psalm 1:3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That bringeth forth the fruit in his season. See, as God has designed things, even down to the world around us and the earth and the trees and the fruit that they're bearing, God has designed each one perfectly. He has also designed us perfectly. We are created in his image. We are created with a purpose, ultimately, to bring honor and glory to God. Everything and every season we go through is beautiful in God's timing. The second part of verse 11 continues on. It says, also he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. God has set eternity in our hearts. God has given us the understanding that this life is not everything. That this world is not sufficient. You see, part of the reason for the difficulties that we experience and the seasons that we go through is to hopefully open our eyes to the reality that this isn't it. That this is not what we should be working towards. If we are honest with ourselves, even the best times of life, we would do without if we could get rid of the worst times of life, through the sorrows and the losses, if we could choose to do that. But God is trying to open our eyes to the fact that we should not be focused on this world and the realities of it. Instead, we should be focused on him. Romans 1, 19 through 20 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What Paul is referencing here at the beginning of Romans is what is known to us as general revelation. How God is revealing himself in this general way. You can't help but step outside and see God's creation, to see that tree planted by the rivers of water. to see the animals that are walking by, to look at ourselves and to just have the question, how did this come to be? And it gives us no excuse, because ultimately we should come to the point that we couldn't create ourselves, that nothing could create us, nothing could just come to be like it is. There had to be a creator. And that creator is God. We are being revealed to in our right in front of us that God is real, that God has created. And as we consider God, as we think about how he has worked and how he's continuing to work, we understand that this world is only a small portion of his creation. It's only a small portion of his purpose for us. See, God's purpose is for us to worship him and praise him and bring him glory while we are here on this earth. But also, that doesn't end when this life ends. See, when we get to heaven, yes, it's going to be a joyful time to be able to see our Savior, to be able to be in heaven, to be free from the burdens of this world. But our focus, the only thing that we are going to want to do with our time, is to praise and worship and glorify God. And we are going to do that for all of eternity. And we're not going to be weighed down by the times and the seasons that we experienced here in this world. Our only focus, the only season of life that we're going to have in eternity, is praising and worshiping our Heavenly Father. And to be able to do that together. We get a small taste of that every time we come together as a church. Every time we're able to worship in this large group and to sing praises and be able to sing it as well with my soul, that last verse was beautiful. That is just a small taste of what it's going to be like in heaven as we're able to worship our Lord and Savior together for eternity. Oh, what a wonderful time that is going to be. But he continuing on here in verses 12 through 13 says, I know that there is no good in them. But for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. Solomon is coming to grips with the fact, as he just saw in the last verse, that this world is not the whole reality, that there is a greater purpose to it. But he is saying that while we are here on earth, we should find joy from the Lord in both these good times and the difficult times. He says that these realities are not going to change. As much as we would like to, we're not going to be able to stop these times and these seasons from happening to us. Now, sometimes these realities come as a result of what we do. So to some degree, we have a little bit of control. We have a little bit of an ability to not place ourselves in situations that are going to make things difficult for us. But ultimately, we have zero control over everything that happens around us and realizing the purpose that God has in each one of them. But as we go throughout these times, are we finding joy? Are we finding that purpose in them? We understand in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We reflect on Philippians a lot. I like to go there because of Paul's perspective as he was sitting in prison, and he mentions joy and rejoice and gladness over and over and over and over again, even though his circumstances would tell your average person that there is no joy to be found in the current circumstances. As he's sitting in prison, as he is not able to do what he wants to do, as he would much rather be going and visiting churches and talking to them in person, he is writing them letters. And he's letting them know that his joy is found in the Lord. His joy is found in eternity, not in this world and not in the circumstances and not in the season of life that he is in the moment. Because he realizes that the purpose that God has for him in this moment, he can't find joy in. It's not like he's joyful that, oh, it's so fun being chained up. It's so fun being under house arrest. It's so fun to be able to experience this. It wasn't the circumstances he was joyful about. It was the purpose behind them that he acknowledged was from the Lord. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. As we consider trying to find joy, as we consider trying to look beyond our circumstances, I love coming to Galatians chapter 6 and the challenge that we find in these first 10 verses for us, specifically as believers and believers that are in a church together. Because what is one of the best ways to look beyond your own circumstances and to be able to focus on the Lord and the purpose that he has? What is one of the best ways to get beyond this? And this is a practical advice that I give people every week that are not in church, that are going through a difficult time and situation in their life, whether they've lost a family member, they've gone through a great traumatic experience, One of the things that I always encourage people with, because it is biblical, they may not know that right away, is to turn the focus off of themselves and to focus on others. Because the Lord tells us that if we love Him, we are to love one another. And folks, the best place to practice this, so to speak, is with each other, is with other believers. Because we need to go through that time of life when we are having a difficult time, and we need to make sure we are looking at the purpose that God has for us in it. Reach out to those around us. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially of them who are of the household of faith. You think of the reflection that Paul is giving here as he's closing his letter to the church at Galatia. He is explaining all these last little bits and things and that he wants to get in here, talking about the difficulties that they're going to experience with one another, bearing one another's burdens, the own temptation that we have with pride. And he summarizes here in verse 10, as you have opportunity, as you have the ability to reach out to those around you. Folks, if we consider the difficult seasons of life that we are going through, that we are going to go through, we need to make sure we are reaching out to those around us so that we can find that true joy, so that we can find that true purpose that God has for us in those circumstances. But then verse 14, back in Ecclesiastes 3, says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. God's eternal works are far beyond man's understanding or control. What God is doing for eternity, we may begin to understand in just a little way here. We may be able to sometimes be blessed and to see how God is working and the purpose that he has behind it. And when we are able to catch a glimpse of that, it is so amazing because we see how far beyond us his plan is. And when God chooses to use us to accomplish a part of his plan, how amazing is it to consider that he wants to use us, that he allows us to be a part of that process? God does not need us to accomplish his plan. God allows us to be a part of that, to be able to be used by him. But folks, his eternal plan is so far beyond our understanding. Genesis 3:5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Remember that first temptation that Adam and Eve faced? That as the devil is tempting them and giving them that temptation, that you can know what is the difference between good and evil. You can know what God is doing. You can understand everything that's taking place. The temptation of knowledge is one that we still struggle with today. Job 26:14, as Job is speaking here, and as he is experiencing this great loss in his life, and as he is trying to come to grips with everything that has taken place, he makes this statement, lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand? Job is reflecting that, yes, it is very difficult for me right now. And if he were to be sitting with Solomon in some situation, maybe they did this in heaven, and they're reflecting on these two passages, you might be like, yeah, that season of life that I was in was a time of mourning, was a time of weeping, was a time of tearing apart. It was extremely difficult, but he had the reality and the purpose in his mind that this is just a part of what God is doing, that I can only see a small glimpse of it. And even we, as we look at the book of Job, we are able to see that interaction between God and Satan as God allows Satan to tempt him and to take these things from him because God was confident that Job would glorify him. Job didn't have the ability to see what was taking place there. He just saw what happened to him. And even in that circumstance, he was able to say he trusted in the Lord and who he was and that his power was beyond even our understanding. Then Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You know, we have challenges we see in Psalms a lot. We are challenged to seek the Lord, to try and know him. We should never stop seeking our understanding and to try to grow it in knowing the Lord. We should always be growing closer to him. But understand that the more we find out, the more we realize we don't know. And as we continue through life and as you draw closer to him, we realize how amazing it is. You know, as you consider, if you've ever done anything with astronomy, if you've ever looked at the stars, and you ever read these articles about these giant telescopes that they're able to put out there, they're able to look way out in the distance and they find these stars. Every time they look out there, they realize how much more they are not able to see. And how God is similar to that in the way that the more we find out about him, we even realize more how unsearchable he is and the depth of his wisdom and his knowledge that goes beyond our understanding. I love this quote by Jim Elliot. Forgive me for being so ordinary while claiming to know so extraordinary a God. You know, we as humans go through our life and we realize hopefully often how humble we should be, and how ordinary we really are. But folks, God, an extraordinary God, uses us as ordinary people in such extraordinary ways. Are we seeking to be used by him? Are we allowing our understanding of God and that growth in it to push us and to motivate us? But then lastly this morning, verse 15, this last reflection that Solomon has on these times and these seasons, he says, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Folks, no one can change the ongoing seasons of life. He's already reflected on this. He's already touched on this in a way. But he began Ecclesiastes back in chapter 1 and verse 9 that there is no new thing under the sun, that everything is going to continue on in this earth as God has ordained it. As it continues to take place, we're not going to be able to stop it. But folks, what should be our outlook? Consider Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. When we don't understand, when we don't comprehend what's taking place, when we lack knowledge, which is all the time, but maybe I should rephrase that. When we come to the understanding that we lack knowledge, we need to trust in him. And in all our ways, acknowledge him. And what happens? He shall direct our paths. That means in the moments of life when it feels like everything is wrong, when we're in this season where we want to weep, we want to mourn, when we're confused, when there's war around us, it means we trust in him. We ultimately are challenged to walk by faith. That means that we need to continue walking. We don't just sit back and hope everything happens. We walk, but we are walking by faith. Faith, that faith that God has given us, that we ultimately are trusting in him each step of the way. Folks, I don't know each one of your circumstances right now. I know some of the things that each one of you are going through, but there are so many more that we all go through on a day-to-day basis. There's different seasons and times of life right now for you. And as we enter this new year, there are going to be many other seasons and times of life you're going to enter into. What is your perspective? Is our perspective the same as Solomon was just a short little bit here, that everything is beautiful in his time? Are we keeping our focus on the Lord and on eternity? Or are we focused on this earth and what we can get out of it? If we focus too much on this world, if we focus too much on ourselves, we are going to be rewarded with these times and seasons of life that are ever-changing. But if we keep our focus on eternity, we keep our focus on the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in him and him alone shall we be trusting as we enter into this new year. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the salvation that you have brought to us. I thank you for the trust that we can place in you. I thank you that we don't have to know everything. I don't want to know everything. Lord, I pray that you would help us to trust you, to walk by faith, to realize that in this ever-changing world, in this ever-changing seasons of life, that we need to hold on to you, the one that is the same, the one that never changes. Lord, help us to look to you each day of our lives, to draw closer to you. Thank you, Lord, that we have salvation, that we have hope for eternity. Help us to point to others around us that are lost, that are in need of this security. Help us to point them to you. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could turn in your hymnals to number 239.